Okay, we're going to be reading from Psalm 119, from verse 145 to 152. We're carrying on in the series of talks on Psalm 119, which is the Hebrew alphabet. You are all very au fait now with the Hebrew alphabet. I'll pray before we begin. Father God, I thank you for this morning's worship and praise, and thank you that we are able to gather together with one heart and one accord to worship you. I ask you that you would help me deliver your word, that I would do it clearly and precisely, and that your spirit would direct me. And Lord, help us to take this word on, because every one of us this morning will know of this talk. We will all have had this talk in our life, either in the last months, weeks, years, at some stage. And Lord, we will all have this again in the future to come. So I ask you, Lord God, please to really take on board what you're saying to us and strengthen us with this. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Psalm 119, 145 to 152. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you. Save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. When I was preparing this talk and this week, I decided to do a quick survey of Psalm 119, because the first thing that came out in this psalm was the word cry. And so when I went through the psalm, we find that delight is mentioned 7 times, love is mentioned 8 times, and cry is mentioned only 4 times, and 3 of those are in this portion under the letter kaf or kaf, which is the Jewish letter that we're looking at this week. We all have experienced at some time in our life, I hope, delight. We've all experienced maybe love. Many of us know what it is to cry. And like the psalmist, that if we go through 119, King David has quite often talked about the delight in God's law, delight in God's word, delight in the Lord himself. He talks about how much he loves God, how much he loves his word. Now we have this portion where he talks about crying out from the whole heart. Quite often in our lives we will have delight. Quite quickly it can turn to despair. We can have happiness, turns to sadness. These are emotions that we all know, we all feel, we've all been through in the last few months. But the one today that I want to look at is the emotion to cry out. Just not going to dwell on this, but I always like to give you some background on the Jewish letter. So, kaf or kaf is shaped like the back of the head, and it represents a cycle, a circuit, or to follow. And I'm not going to dwell on the letter's meaning, which I have done in previous talks, because today is not so apt to this talk. But it's formed from 2 other sort of letters to form the shape that it is, and it's thought to represent both holy and unholy. But you can go and look at that, read that bit for yourself. I want to look at the fact that it's a circuit or a following, and that if you look at our lives, our lives basically are cycles, and all our emotions are cycles, and we go through the cycle of love and delight and cry and sadness all the time in our life. Okay, go to the Psalm 145, verse 145. I cried out, or I cried with my whole heart. We know that as crying your heart out. Now, when I first looked at this, what I thought was that King David was crying his heart out because of the afflictions and the troubles that he's endured, and that everything was going pear-shaped again, and that maybe he was in big trouble, and you know that it was the end. That's what first came into my mind when I read it, my thoughts. But when I started to look at it and study it, King David, when he's crying out with the heart, isn't just praying for God's help. At first glance, we think he's crying out for delivery from the trouble. But what he's maybe crying out in despair. But, and this is the but, he is sincerely seeking God, not just to save him, but when the trial or the trouble has passed, that he can praise God, giving thanks and praise for his faithfulness. He's coming to God, crying with his own heart, not just to save him, but so that when it's past, or the trouble that we're looking at is past, that he can stand and praise God for his faithfulness. He knows, King David knows, that he must go through the difficulties and the troubles. But he also knows that a faithful God will see him through it. And when he sees him through it, he will stand and praise God for his faithfulness. That's amazing. So he's not coming to God to cry out to help him through the difficulty. He's coming to God to say, when the difficulties pass, let me stand and praise your holy name. That's an amazing thing to pray. You know, we don't instantly pray that when we're going through the trouble. Lord, let me stand and praise you when everything that's going wrong has ended. We go in prayer and say, Lord, help me through this until I get through it. So he says this next, David. Save me and I will keep your testimonies. This is what I'm getting at the start. Save me and I will keep your testimonies. This alone keeps David willing and eager to serve the Lord. This has the result of driving him further into prayer, further into seeking God's face. He declares that he will keep God's statutes, he will keep his laws and his ways. But he is not asking to be spared from any trial or affliction. Rather, he's saying to the Lord, I don't want to be spared from the affliction, but I want you to help me praise you and honour you through it. David is seeking God at night. This is the difference in this bit of the psalm. He is seeking God at night in the early hours of the morning. This is a picture of the dawn. And he says, I rise before the dawning of the morning and I cry for help and I hope in your word. What is he saying? He wants to literally prevent the dawn from rising. He doesn't want the dawn to come yet. You can only imagine if King David is crying with the whole heart, that he is on his knees, that he is praying to God through the night watch, the 2 o'clock, the 3 o'clock, and the 4 o'clock. He is praying with his whole heart to God, and he is asking God to hear him. You can imagine, and I don't know if you've ever had the 2 or 3 o'clock experience when you're praying with God. Maybe you've been lying in your bed, you're sleeping, and suddenly God wakes you up. And you wake up and you don't know why, and suddenly you think, I've got to pray. And so you go into your living room or wherever you go to, you get down on your hands and knees or you sit on your sofa and you start praying to God. You're just praying about things. And all of a sudden the tears start coming down your face. God wants to speak to you. You haven't been available. And God sometimes has the terrible thing of waking you out of your bed and he speaks and you pray. And you pray your heart back to God. Your whole heart back to God. I don't know how many people, I know there's a few in here have had this. And when you're sitting in that time, there's nothing else you have but tears coming down your face. The situation is so difficult. The struggle has been so tough. And God said, look, I need you to tell me. I know, but I need you to tell me so that I can hear you and answer your prayer. And you're saying, God, but I've been praying to you for these many months. And now you get me out of my bed to pray. The struggle has been too immense. So you imagine King David, who has been struggling all this time. The tears are coming down his face and he's pleading with God, not to spare from the trouble, but that when the trouble is past, that he can stand and praise God for his faithfulness. This morning, I want to look at this topic. Wrestling in prayer. This man, King David, is trying to push back the dawn. He doesn't want it to come until he's finished his prayer with God the Father. He needs God to hear him. And God does hear him. I need God to hear me sometimes. It's as if God is on mute and he's not hearing what I'm saying. Of course, God hears every word that I say. If you want this holiness in your life,
you want to know God more, if you're desiring to have a God-driven life, this is the example of where we need to be, what King David is doing. Crying out with your whole heart in the middle of the night, asking God to hear you and to help you through. Earnestly seeking God's face. He prays all night long while his enemies are sleeping. He prays all night long, asking God to draw strength, guidance and protection from God. If you look, you know, your New Testament, you will know quite often that Jesus prayed in the early hours of the morning when it's still, when there's nobody else about, when it's just you and the Father. We need to learn from Jesus' example of coming to the Father at that time. I don't know if any of you struggle with sleeping at night, or there's things going through your head when you're going to bed and you're worrying about this and that. Your troubles can often weigh you down and you can't sleep. You're lying in your bed. Broken sleep, tiredness can wear you down. Your struggles can really drive you down. David is wrestling in prayer all night long. He's crying from the heart, Lord, hear my prayer and save me. King David isn't the first person to wrestle in prayer. He's not the first person to wrestle with God. In Genesis chapter 32, we have an example of Jacob. Jacob was a man who endured hardships, difficulties. He had family problems. You could nearly put him in modern day age. His brother Esau wanted him dead at one point. Things were bad for Jacob. In fact, in the bit I'm going to read, Esau is seeking Jacob and he's catching him, and Jacob's panicking, thinking he's coming to kill him. He's doing all these sorts of things to protect himself and his family. And then we pick up in this point, Genesis chapter 32, I'm going to read from verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. It's an amazing account. Jacob has been on his own. The angel of the Lord has come. And the account that we're given is that he struggles with the angel of the Lord, not just for an hour, not for a couple of hours, but he struggles with the angel of the Lord all night long until the dawn is going to break. You can imagine what it must be like to struggle with the angel of the Lord. An amazing account. He wrestles all night long. And the important thing is that Jacob will not give up. He will not let the angel of the Lord go. All night long he is struggling. This is wrestling with God in the most extreme way. And the angel of the Lord says to him, what is your name? And he says, my name is Jacob. He says, your name is no longer Jacob, it is now Israel. Why? Because he struggled with men and God, and he had prevailed. The angel of God has changed his name because he continued to wrestle, to prevail, to keep on going. He would not give up. He would not pack it in. And in his struggle, he's saying, I want you to bless me. With the last thing you're going to ask God in the middle of your turmoil or your struggle or your work difficulties or your family, whatever it is, you're not going to say, Lord, bless me in the middle of this. You're just saying, Lord, get me through it. But Jacob wants to be blessed. And then he says this, I have seen the face. I've seen God face to face. My life is preserved. It's an amazing example of what it is to struggle with God. So maybe this morning you're wrestling with God. Maybe you've been doubting God. You've been searching for reasons as to why you're having to go through the struggles. Maybe you've got unanswered prayer. You're struggling day to day. Your struggle's been going on for a long time. Got to be seeking God's face. Even if the tears are running down your face in the tracks or seen in your cheeks, You've got to be searching and seeking God. Your prayers seem unanswered. Your prayer will be answered one way or the other. You're doubting God because he's not doing things the way you want. You're struggling in your circumstances. You've got to keep wrestling in prayer until you get the answer. Jacob didn't give up when he was wrestling. David's, King David's eyes, the tears are coming down them, not in vain, because he knows that God is going to hear him. His tears are not in vain. He is pleading with God, but his cry is not a cry of self-pity, looking for mercy and all that. His cry is a cry of hope. It's a cry of assurance. He knows God will deliver him. He knows that God is faithful, and he declares, I will honour you. I will honour you. How's he going to do that? How's he going to honour God in this circumstance? When he knows, with his, he's crying with his own heart, he knows God is a faithful God. And he says, I will honour you. He's going to honour him in this struggle. Isn't that amazing? You're going to honour God in your struggle. It doesn't sort of match, it doesn't tie, it doesn't seem to be right. But this is what he says. He said, I will honour you in the struggle. I will keep your testimonies in my struggle. I will hope in your word in my struggle. And I will meditate upon your word in my struggle. I will praise you. Why? Because I love your ways. A constant theme. He delights in God's word. He delights to know God. And he delights in everything about God. I will read, listen, speak, meditate, pray to you, God the Father. All of these things I will do because I meditate, because I delight, because I love your ways. The glimmer of hope, his delight is in God and God's word alone. This is what he's declaring I'm going to do in my struggle. And this is his response. He says, I will hear. Will you hear my voice? Will you hear my voice? Will you revive me? And will you revive me according to your faithfulness? This delight is what drives him to ask God to hear his voice, to answer his prayer, to revive him by your word, by God's word alone. Father, bless me. Bless me through your word. Bless me according to your faithfulness. You know, that's an amazing, powerful set of statements that we've looked at with King David. I think I heard it said this morning in prayer. A man has no special promise of help in any particular trouble. Yet the consideration of God's mercy and his loving kindness shown in his word is sufficient ground to strengthen and give us hope to be heard. Even though it can feel like a spiritual darkness is upon you in these times of difficulty, when it appears that trouble is overtaking you, when it appears that crying from the heart is falling on deaf ears, the reward for those who never give up is a renewed spirit and a renewed thirst to serve God with your whole heart. This morning's message is this: never give up in your struggle. Never let your struggle overtake you, because God has promised that he will never give you more than you can deal with and you can handle. So no matter how hard the struggle, how difficult the battle, never give up. Psalm 119, verse 93, King David said this: I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. In other words, I will never give up the struggle, because in your word is life, in your life, and your word is life to me. David can draw from God, can draw strength from the Lord, knowing his enemies are near. They're far from God, but they're near to him. In other words, his enemies are always on his heels. They're always catching him. And he is saying this: Lord, I know your word, and I believe in your word, and I trust in your word. Your word has given me life. And we know today that the real life giver through God's word is Jesus. So, King David, they draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. The nearer the danger appears to be, the more ground of confidence we have as children of God to call and to hope for God to preserve us. The nearer the danger, the nearer our God. God is near, for his Holy Spirit dwells within us, is teaching us, and is guiding us through the battlefield that we have to endure. Your commandments are truth, and they are life to me. And then he says this, concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. The consolation for the suffering servant, the sufferer of righteousness, is his readiness to believe, God's readiness to deliver me, to deliver King David, to believe the truth of God's word, and by these we are justified. Why? For following God's law, for loving his word. And this alone is a pledge for God's assurance and his deliverance also. The nearer the trouble, the closer God is to us. So back to my key. Never give up in the struggle. God's word is an everlasting stability in your life today. The unchanging word of God and his truth is the rock that we stand upon. And nothing can shake us from the rock that is founded upon God and God's word. Never give up. Our tears may be sown in sadness and pain and misery, but we will reap in gladness and joy. Your heart will be crying out, Lord, let me bless you when this is through. Let me give you the honor and praise that is due your holy name. You know, by crying out your whole heart before God, be sure that the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. Not that he might hear them, not that he is considering hearing them, but that he hears them. And Taddy Gordon once said this, It is impossible for God to do nothing. When you cry out to God in righteousness, in his righteousness to Jesus, when you cry out to him, it is impossible for him to do nothing. Your tears may be falling. God knows your pain. He sees your struggle and he hears your cry. Don't think it's all in vain. We all go through the joy and delights. I've heard it and shouted over the last year. The new births, the wonderful things that God has done, the deliveries that have been given, the sicknesses that have been healed. All those things I've heard in joy and delight and in love. But we also have to go through the pain and the suffering and the hardships. And this little fellowship has been going through the hardships just before Christmas. It's painful to have had to go through these things. And we've all endured it somehow or another. But this morning I want to encourage every one of us. There is nothing shameful or wrong with crying out with your whole heart to God. There is nothing wrong in wrestling with God in prayer. In fact, every believer in here should at some time have wrestled in prayer with God. But be sure, if you're wrestling with him, if you're keeping his ways, if you're seeking God's face, then even in the struggle, God will bless you if you remain faithful and true. He will bless you even when it feels like your tears are a never-ending river. But you have to have the courage and the faith and the belief in God to never give up, never turn your back, never walk away, because Jesus will be with you and strengthen you, and God is beside you. Just like Jacob, never give up, hold on tight. Even if the struggle is so difficult, hold on and seek God's face. Never give up. And I want to leave you with three S's that came from this talk for me today that I've had to apply to myself. You've got to seek, You've got to search and you've got to serve. If you do those three things in your struggle, God will answer you and see you through. God is not a God of afar off. God is closer to you than you think when you're enduring the struggle. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word that is living and true. Thank you for words that we're reading written thousands of years ago that are still applicable to this day. Lord, I ask you to help us in our struggles to search you and to know you. Lord, to cry out with our whole hearts to you and to know, Lord God, you're a God who is faithful and true to us and that you will answer our prayers. Lord, I thank you for how wonderful you are. Just almighty God, I just give you thanks this morning and ask you, Lord, to please touch the lives of the people in here who are struggling with sickness or struggling with family or struggling with maybe debt or work issues. I ask you, Lord, we're all having a struggle of some sort. Lord, please help us through our struggles and help us at the end of it to stand and sing your praises for your deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.